this week's episode of Asexuals Anonymous, the podcast where we talk all about asexuality. If you would like to get in touch, please, please do. The DMs and emails are always welcome. The email address is asexualsanon@hotmail.com, and my TikTok handle is amybutler66, AmiebutleR66, and my Instagram is amybutler96. So let's get on with this week's episode. So this week we have got a guest on, which is super exciting. Our very first guest, Sam, you are joining the podcast. Welcome.
It would appear that I am here on the podcast. I'm happy to be here. Delighted.
You are. And also, you are happy to not be anonymous, which is really exciting. Can I just double check that is true?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not anonymous. Here I am, loud and proud, same as you.
Yay! So if you did want to watch this podcast on YouTube, the video will be available. It won't just be audio, which is also really exciting. So Sam, how do you identify?
Yeah, sure. So my pronouns are she, her, and I identify as demisexual as part of the asexual spectrum. And I know you've made a couple of videos about that before, so I'm not going to explain what demisexual means. I'll let people go and have a look into that themselves, because I think a big part of when people discuss their sexual and gender identity, that, you know, we're not educators on every single thing about ourselves, and it's important that people go and explore and have a look into that themselves. So I'm not here to explain. Obviously I'm on the podcast, so I will explain some things. I'm not gonna answer any of your questions, but you know, it's important that people do their own research and kind of find out about these identities. So myself, I identify as demisexual, which a brief kind of explanation, I guess, is that I don't experience sexual attraction with people until I formed like a relationship with them and I know them more as a person. It's not based on initial interactions and characteristics or physical attributes of the person.
Oh my goodness, you're so articulate. I love it.
Well, it is my job. You know, we should have probably prefaced by saying that I'm a chartered psychologist and a senior lecturer in psychology as well.
Yes, I was going to say, do you want to explain your job? Because there is no way that I was going to attempt to do that. And it deserves the correct definition.
Yeah, so I'm a chartered psychologist with the British Psychological Society, which means I've completed several qualifications and reached the chartered status. So I have a BSc degree in forensic psychology, an MSc in investigative psychology, a PhD in psychology, which explores public perceptions towards people with schizophrenia who offend predominantly. And I also have a PG cert in higher education teaching, and I'm also a senior fellow of the Higher Education Academy, and as I said, a chartered psychologist. So I'm an academic, mainly work in higher education university institutions, and I also work as an external examiner, and I do TikTok about, you know, psychology, and that's how we met, obviously.
It is how we met. And for those of you like me, aka she's really smart. Just really
book smart, street smart. Actually, if you want to get into this, I think intelligence is a social construct, as much as kind of other ideas about sexuality and things like that. But I have had my IQ tested, so I am smart as well.
Yeah, let's not be modest here.
You asked, you said it, so I'll say that. But yeah, I think what I was talking about when I talk about explaining identity and, you know, psychology and how the two interlink as well, because I'm interested in doing some more research into that, and I'm sure we'll get on to that in the discussion. But I think it's really important to acknowledge that just because I have a series of qualifications means that I am qualified in my area, but people still have different experiences. I don't know everything about all of the topics that I discuss, and obviously today we're discussing this from my kind of personal perspective, and you know what I've learned about myself, and you know, any encouragement we can give to kind of other asexuals or demisexual people out there who just want to know more information. So I am speaking as a human, as a person, as Sam, and not as an academic or a psychologist at this point.
Yeah, nice. Just because otherwise I'm going to forget, just to touch on what you just said, from a kind of psychologist, is that the right word?
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of point of view, real quick before I forget. Mm-hmm. What would sort of be your view on people who say they become asexual, or they, because of a trauma, or these tablets and medication have made me asexual? Because for me, I sort of understood it as when you're gay or bi or trans or something like that, it's kind of like from birth. But lots of people do tend to comment on my things saying they've become it over time. I just wondered what your views on that would be.
I think people are allowed to share their own experiences, obviously, without us gaslighting, if that's an experience and that's the way that they feel. And yes, part of what you said, you know, people are born the way that they are, you know, the whole Lady Gaga song. But on the other angle, just to kind of take it from a psychological perspective, the massive debate in psychology, regardless of the topic, is the nature and nurture debate. So nature being, is that the way that people are born into certain things? So for me, as a forensic kind of specialism, are people born kind of criminals or evil? I'm doing abbreviated brackets for those that are just listening and not watching. Or do people kind of become that behaviour? Do people learn offending behaviour through kind of social and developmental perspectives? And I guess the answer in terms of all sexuality, to kind of be broader and then to hone in on asexual, would be that it is a process of both. It would dismiss people to say, and it would dismiss us obviously to say that, oh, well, society is made us this way, has made us into this whatever we are, that the idea that, you know, people that are asexual are broken, which I'm sure we'll get to that conversation as well. But I think we can't dismiss the fact that there might be biological differences, which is why we are all different anyway, but also society as a whole and our experiences and the way that we maybe experienced earlier relationships or maybe some trauma might have led us to that path. However, on the other side of things, I think it's very dismissive of people's experiences for those that identify as asexual, for others to then say, oh, well, I didn't used to be, but now I am, because it kind of indicates that something has broken them, like we've just said. So, oh, I was heterosexual, or I was, in abbreviated brackets again, normal, but now I've become something else and now I'm asexual. And that's about the way that somebody identifies and the way that somebody feels, not a biological mechanism that has made somebody another way. But I guess to spin it again, which is just, I don't have an answer to this, it's just another spin, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
To think about that is, if people do start life a certain way, so obviously we all are born, and unfortunately in a heteronormative society, we all believe that we are straight until otherwise indicated, which shouldn't be the way. We should just be a person, and then we figure out our identity as we do with anything else, our career. You're not born knowing that you want to be a police officer. You decide that you want to be a police officer. You don't know that from birth, just with how you figure out what you want to do in other aspects of your life and who you are as a person and your sexuality. So part of me wants to say it doesn't matter. Obviously our identities matter, but part of me wants to say it shouldn't matter, because if people decide what their sexuality is and that changes over time, which I'm going to discuss my sexuality, it should be okay to say, well, actually, now I identify as asexual because of other experiences that I've had. And yes, I used to be a certain way, but now it's this. And I think people are too worried that they've previously identified with a label. And I know I was, that you've picked a label, you've kind of come out, again, if you want to do that in abbreviated brackets, and then you have to come out again and change your mind. And is that going to invalidate your experience? Or people then go, oh, well, I told you so, or, oh, you're just making it up, or, well, you never were that way in the first place. And I think the honest answer is, am I allowed to swear on this podcast or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, who gives a fuck? Like, at the end of the day, if you want to say that you identify one way and it's different to what you used to identify, people need to listen to that, and then you just need to move on with your lives, because at the end of the day, it's nothing to do with anybody else apart from you and any romantic or sexual partner that you have. They're the only two or three, if you know, polyamorous, if people are in those relationships, that's the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter to somebody that walks down the street. I don't stop everybody in the street and tell them that I'm asexual. Like, it matters to nobody, but it should matter to us as people, that we should be able to have this discussion without, there'll be a rogue comment somewhere that will say, oh, it's fake, or, oh, it's because someone's ugly, or it's horrible out there, kind of the stigma that everybody faces. But we know that this population receives a niche type of stigma as well from other people within the LGBTQA plus community. So, yeah, I guess that was a bit of a tangent there, and you can cut as much of that out as you want.
Oh, no, I won't.
But, yeah, that's kind of the way I see it from a person that has those experiences, but from also predominantly my core area of psychology is social psychology. So those kind of attitudes that people have towards people changing labels, and a lot of my research is also into labeling people with mental illnesses, so I understand how labels are important to people, but also placing kind of label first rather than person first labels can be problematic. So You know, I have my labels, but I have multiple labels, and some of them, sometimes they don't matter, sometimes they do matter. Like, I wouldn't go into a surgery, like a ward in a hospital, and be like, oh, hi, I'm a doctor. Because yes, I am. I have a PhD, but I'm a psychologist. I wouldn't be on a plane and they ask for a doctor and I put my hand up and say I'm a doctor. So, you know, just as we use some of those labels, there's other times where more labels are appropriate. And it's just about thinking if you feel safe in those environments as well. So yeah, that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah, no. And also, just to touch on what you said about fluidity, I remember in some of my very first videos, a couple of years ago now, I made it really clear that sexuality in general is so fluid and people can change their minds, and it's never something that you're meant to box up and sellotape it up and then put it to the side. Like, it's always fluid and can change, and people do change and people do evolve and they learn, and that should be okay. And I do think some people, I've had conversations with people before where they're almost scared to label themselves, because once they've got that label, they don't feel like they can change.
Yeah.
Or what if it's not true? What if that's not how I feel? And it's like, if that's how you feel right now and that's helpful to you to label yourself as that, then go for it.
Yeah.
Like, there is no one there like judging you, or like you're going to get 10 points if you stick as this sexuality forever, and you're going to drop 5 points if you change. Or like, there's no rules, there's no, you're not going to get put in prison, you're not gonna, you know, sort of like, you do what is right for you, and if that is figuring things out and things change, that is so fine.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important for people to know, because I do think it's quite common for people to like be stuck with their label then, and that you don't have to.
And I think some people as well are like scared of, like, almost feels like you're admitting that you were wrong, which isn't that. That's not what it is. You discover more things about yourself as you grow up. Like, people are ever changing. Yes, you know, brain development and kind of peak optimal frontal lobe development, like 25. But that doesn't mean that you don't change as a person based on your experiences. Most of my major experiences happened kind of from 25. So it was after the brain development. Obviously, people struggle during teenage years and puberty and things like that with their sexuality. That's the predominant kind of angle for most people. But I think for asexual people, I've not done any research into it and I don't know the facts, so, you know, don't quote me, but I feel like it's much later because of the lack of interest in kind of sex and the kind of looking at people and, oh, you know, your friends at school and you join in, don't you? And they're like, oh, they're really fit. And you're like, yeah. And you're like, I know they're attractive. I can appreciate an attractive person, but I don't really know what you think. You know, I don't really know what you're saying. Or your friends are having sex and you're like, I don't want to. Not in a way that, you know, the horrible word frigid, not in a way like that, but just in the way of, I couldn't care less. Like, I'd rather just go home and watch SpongeBob. Like, yeah. it's different and it's a different experience. I do feel like it takes longer for people to process that and come to terms with it. And also because people don't talk about it and it's not talked about in schools as kind of an option. If you don't see it as an option of something you can be, then how do you know you can be that option?
And I think that it's okay to be that option.
Literally. And I think people worry about, and you know, when I was first coming out, which we'll get onto as well, I hate the word coming out, but you know, it's just easier, isn't it? I think it's important to know that if you're listening to this and you're maybe considering if you're ace or, you know, where you sit or just your sexuality in general, to know that you don't need to meet someone to have that person fix you. Nobody will fix you. Just because you are or you aren't in a relationship doesn't invalidate the way that you want to identify. If you want to be ace and single, great. If you want to be ace in a relationship, great. As long as there's respect from the person that is reciprocating that relationship, that's the only thing that matters. And, you know, I've spent multiple times kind of crying about it and being worried about it. And, you know, nobody, even though I am in a relationship now, nobody fixed me. It was an understanding about myself and what I was comfortable with and the honesty within that. And it just being a place that I sat in that I was uncomfortable with, but just know that, you know, it's valid. We see you, me and Amy see you, and, you know, you'll see yourself soon enough. And hopefully having more conversations like this and opening up and talking to your family and friends about it will only help that journey be more positive for you.
Yeah, and also, no one is going to come along and fix you because you are not broken. There is nothing
100%.
To fix. That's the bottom line of it as well. And I totally understand, like, where that feeling will come from if anyone does feel like that, because that's one of the first feelings that I felt. I thought there was something wrong with me medically in the head or physically. I went to the doctors about it, and you know, it's not a thing that needs to be fixed because you are not broken. Just to get on then, can I ask you about your sort of realization story and how you became aware of asexuality in general and thought that you identify as that sexuality?
Yeah.
No.
So, I mean, it was probably a process of, you know, you hear people say like, oh, from the age of like 12, I knew I was gay, or I enjoyed musical theatre or whatever. That doesn't make you gay. But I think it was probably around school age, I thought that maybe I wasn't straight. It wasn't, again, like, you know, I'm 32 in a couple of months. So when I was in high school, it was like 2004 to 2009, just to give people perspective. The only like sex education we had was in biology, where they kind of told us how people get pregnant. That was it. I did go to a religious school as well, so again, just to preface that. And that was it. There wasn't really any discussion around kind of different sexualities or consent or anything like that. So my friends were sexually active, and they kind of talk about people that they were with. There was a boy in the school who was like one of the most attractive boys, and he fancied me. I said I fancied him. He was attractive. Whether that means that I fancied him or not, I don't actually know. No bad vibes if he watches this. I doubt that he will. But no bad vibes anyone from school sees this. But yeah, and I just kind of just went along with things, really. There was nothing. I didn't think that I was a lesbian or anything like that. I just wasn't really interested. Then when I got to college, again, kind of similar things were happening. And I just thought, I'm just not really interested. I had a couple of kind of boyfriends and a few kind of dates, but I just thought maybe I'm more interested in kind of my studies and things that are going on in my personal life. And I used to play football, and maybe I was just more interested in that. And that's what it was. So I just kind of benched it. And then when I got to university, there was a lot going on in my life where I was the first in my family to go to university anyway, study psychology, obviously. And then my grandma was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer in my second year. So I was living at home with my parents anyway. I didn't do the whole student life, going out drinking. I was living at home. I was then a carer for my grandma when she was ill, and kind of subsequently passed away. So I just felt like there was other things in my life to focus on, and I kind of wasn't really thinking about myself. I wasn't struggling with my sexuality. It just wasn't, I just didn't really care, to be honest. I didn't really think about
it.
Exactly
the same as me, actually, when I went to college.
Yeah.
Kind of like my focus was all on my training and just wasn't there. Yeah.
You're just not really interested. It wasn't anything bad. I just didn't think about it.
Yeah.
And then I finished uni. I went to work in forensic psychiatric services, in low secure services. So again, it's a very intense job. You're starting shifts at 7:30 in the morning. You're working till 8:00 at night. You know, it's intense sometimes. There's, you know, it's a hard job. And I was thinking about my career. I didn't know whether I wanted to be a registered psychologist or go down stages of training. So I just felt like I always had something that was something else to think about. And I never really had to think about that. And I guess kind of reflecting back recently on that time, I almost don't know if I was avoiding that deliberately a little bit, or what. You can't tell these things. Like, I have to do reflective practice as part of my job, so I'm more self-aware than others maybe, but I can't tell whether that was, you know, for various reasons, but you know, it might have been. And then I went to uni and I did my master's, and then I remember one day, I think it was, I was reading about an article about prison, and it was about people who were LGBTQ in prison. And within this article, it kind of asked for people's identities, and I can't remember the name of it, so don't ask me. And then it had mentioned kind of other in the identity. So I'd unpacked it. I'd kind of done a little Google, and it came up with asexual. So I just did a little bit of reading, ended up getting down a bit of a rabbit hole with kind of reading that. And I was like, oh, like, okay, like, I think I've seen this show before. So I was kind of just, you know, that TikTok where it's like, is this fucking play about us? Like,
yeah.
I feel like it was one of those moments. So I read it a little bit, and then I was doing my PhD. I was in like the first year of my PhD, and I think I rang my best friend from high school, who I'm still best friends with, and she was, you know, really supportive during this whole journey. Shout out to Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And I just said to her, like, I've been reading this article and I just feel like I need to say it to someone, because if I don't say it, I probably won't say it, you know, to make it real. And she was like, okay. I mean, I read everything, and she doesn't really do a lot of reading, so I think she was a bit like, could be anything. This could be any topic, literally, from like dinosaurs to obviously what I do for work. So I just said, I think I might be asexual, or kind of identify as being asexual. And the phone kind of was quite quiet, and I was like, oh, like, you know, you feel a bit sick, don't you? And you're a bit like, oh. And she was like, oh, is that it? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, okay, like, you know, good for you. But I kind of, you know, I kind of knew that. I just was kind of waiting for you to kind of tell me.
Why is it that everyone always knows before us?
And I was like, what? Like, when I kind of explained, and she was like, yeah, like, that seems legit, kind of like, good for you. And I was like, okay, not really sure what to kind of make of that, but thank you. So I thought, okay, fair enough. So I rang my college best friend, and she was driving. So I just said, oh, I've got something to tell you. And she was like, oh, and I could hear her voice being like, oh my God, like, is she going to tell me she's sick? Or like, you know, and she was like, oh, okay, I'm driving. So like, you know, I can stop, you know, whatever. And I was like, no. And I said, and the reaction was pretty much the same. And I was just like, well, and she was like, yeah, I read an article about that and did it. And I was like, well, it's took me ages. Could you have like maybe asked? And she was like, wasn't my place to ask, was it? And I was like, well, I didn't know, so maybe that would have been useful. So that was kind of like my friendship coming out
story. Do you think it would have been useful? Because I think if my friends have said that to me, I would have put up such a defense. And I don't think it would have been very helpful. I think it would have made me feel a bit crap.
That's a good point. I feel like my friends knew me well enough, and I was at a point, because are you a few years younger than me?
Yeah, I'm 28.
Yeah, so I feel like I was maybe at a point where, you know, I do a lot of reading, I'm quite open to a lot of ideas, that if they'd have just rang me and been like, oh yeah, don't bother trying to date, you're asexual, that would have been passive, you know, that's quite aggressive.
Yeah.
But, you know, just a conversation would have maybe been useful. But yeah, like, it was really, really nice to have that reaction. And then it was a while before I then, because I wasn't dating at the time, I wasn't really interested in that. So it was a while before I then kind of told my parents about it. And I think it was just pre-pandemic that I kind of started a conversation with my dad one time when we were on a walk. And me and my dad are super close anyway. People probably know that if they've seen my TikToks and things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm close to all of my family, but me and my dad are really close. We go on a lot of holidays together, and me and my mum are really close as well, and my younger brother. So I remember I told him, and I kind of was on a walk, and I just said, you know, some people aren't really interested in sex. They still, you know, would be open to a relationship. I wasn't desperate for one. But, you know, I kind of feel that way. And I started to him, and he said, good for you. But I honestly couldn't care less, not in a dismissive way, but just like,
in like, yeah,
that's you. We know what you're like anyway. Like, my parents know I've never been someone who brings loads of people home or stays out late or does one night stands. So, you know, it wasn't news to them. I was like 28. So I felt like that was a good reaction. I had a couple of reactions from family where they'd be like, oh, well, you've just not met the right person. You know, those casual comments, which I don't think they meant any harm by. I didn't get anything that was a really horrible pushback. But yeah, that was kind of that was a coming out process. And same with my brother. I rang him and he was like, yeah, seems fair enough. It was like, I don't understand what you mean. And then I sent him a couple of links and things like that, which I will say is helpful. If you feel a bit awkward about trying to explain yourself, which obviously we said at the start, you don't need to explain yourself to anybody. But if you want to try and, you know, help somebody to understand and support you, I found it useful to maybe send people links to articles that explain it rather than you trying to say it if you're a bit uncomfortable.
And were you nervous telling people or telling your family?
I think after my friend's reaction, I kind of thought, well, is everybody going to be like this? So it made it a bit easier. I mean, the first part of it was that I just said about the asexuality. I think that the second part would then be for me to say that I started to think about the fact that I might identify as biromantic. So obviously you can be ace and be hetero, but I think that was a later point. At this point, it was very much, I was just telling people that I was ace because I wasn't sure about the other element. So I didn't really want to put that extra label on because I wasn't sure, and I wasn't dating anybody, so it didn't really matter. It wasn't like I was going to bring a girlfriend home and then people will be like, you know, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, so I feel like at that point I wasn't nervous. It was more that I couldn't really be bothered with the energy of explaining myself several times. I think it takes a lot of energy, you know. Even I love having chats with you, I love seeing your posts, but sometimes if you spend time talking about it, or like I've just started a new job, so you know you have to come out again to everybody, I think sometimes you need to have a minute and go and take a minute and just realize that you've had to tell that again. And it is quite a lot of emotional labor sometimes trying to explain and almost validate yourself while you're saying it. And I think, well, you know what, if you don't understand, it's not my problem. And that's the point where I think we've kind of got to now, but I see other people not at that point, so you know it's important for us to bring that up.
And are you proud about being asexual now? Do you feel very like proud about it? Or
I think I always struggle with the idea of being proud. Like, proud is, achievements of being proud are the person that you are, and like your kind of identity and your attributes and your achievements and things like that. And I just feel like it's doesn't dismiss the LGBTQ community of pride and events like that, but I almost feel like, why should I be proud of being able to exist? It's a bit of a conflict. I feel like to say that I'm proud would mean that it's something different, and it's like, I'm proud specifically because what? Because this is the way that I am. I should just be able to just exist. Like, are straight people proud? I think I'm proud of the person that I am and everything that that encompasses, which obviously part of my sexual identity and the way that I am in relationships. And hopefully that my partner would say that I'm very empathetic and I'm very loving and I'm very romantic. I'm proud of that. But just to be proud because of my sexual identity, I'm not sure about that. And it's fine if other people feel like they are, but I don't particularly have an affinity with that. What do you think? Are you proud? Would you say you're proud to be ace?
I think my end goal is to be authentically proud about it. And because I think I'm proud about the fact I can now say that I'm asexual out loud.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, like, I'm proud of the fact that I can talk about it. I'm proud of the fact I can put up TikToks and talk about it. I'm proud of the fact I'm educated about myself. And every time I sort of use the term come out, or every time I say to someone I'm asexual, it's hard. Like, it's never easy for me. I don't find it, it's not a roll off the tongue. It's always like, it feels like I'm breaking a barrier for myself every time I sort of say it. And I think every barrier is a step of pride.
Sure.
Just because it's like a self thing, because it's not something that I want to be.
Sure.
Necessarily. It's not something that I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's really 100%. Hard for me. So I feel like to say that I'm proud is more than just being proud of my sexuality. It's being proud of the way that I conduct myself within that and how I sort of navigate life now and things like that. That's more of what I'm proud about, rather than being proud to be asexual, which I think could be the end goal.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. It makes 100% sense. And also, like, you don't need to ask anyone if it makes sense, if it makes sense for you. But yeah, I always say that as well. I'm always like, is that okay? And it's like, why am I asking that? But yeah, 100% agree. I just find the word proud a bit conflicting based on kind of like social identity and theories around that.
I think, yeah, you're so right. Like, we shouldn't have to be proud. We shouldn't have to.
You should just be able to exist.
You should be able to exist. However, I do think we're not, as a society, we're not quite there yet. And in order to get there, we do need people to speak out and proud, if that makes sense. So, like, not hide away because you're asexual. You need to stand tall and proud. And we need more people to do that, to sort of give it less of a stigma and things like that. So I think that's where my proud term comes from. It'll be interesting to see what other people think. If you're listening and you're thinking, I've got something to say here, please let us know, because this is a good conversation, actually.
Yeah, it really is. And I think people, you're allowed to be proud of your identity in whatever respect that you want to be. So just because we said something, you don't have to agree with us.
Yeah.
But it's about being comfortable as well. And I think also part of pride comes from a safety. Like you've just said, like you wouldn't say that to people, you know, a few years ago, you wouldn't have been that confident. You maybe wouldn't have felt that TikTok was a safe enough space to do that. I probably wouldn't right at the beginning of my journey when we kind of first like just I just saw one of your videos, you saw one of mine, and I messaged you and we just was like, oh yeah, we're both faced, let's be friends. And
Yeah,
then we
that's how
just
we met,
literally TikTok.
by
So, you know, I think part of that and me seeing you saying that and being comfortable with it is now part of my identity. And I'll more so, to be honest, I more use the word queer just generally because I almost feel like people don't, they earn access to knowing about my sexuality in more detail, which obviously I'm happy to do this podcast because I want people to know and I don't need to be anonymous. But if you'd have asked me a few years ago, I'd have probably been like, I'm not sure how that would bear on like my career, or if my students saw it, I'm not sure what people would think. And then I think, well, it shouldn't matter whether I'm like, oh, I'm proud of it and that's why I want people to know, or whether it's just it's such a non-event. I always say this to kind of my students as well, like it's not an event to just be yourself. It's just part of it. But we've had to fight for that. And, you know, everybody in the LGBTQA plus community has had to fight for that. So, yes, we are allowed to be proud, but also we shouldn't have to be. I think that's the conclusion on what we've kind of just said. We
I
are,
think,
but we
yeah,
shouldn't
that's
have to be.
great. That's a
Yeah.
really good
New
conclusion.
tagline for the podcast.
Yeah, say it again.
We're ace and we're proud, but we shouldn't have to be.
Damn, girl.
Yeah.
That's one less thing for me to think about. So you are in a relationship now. I would love to know more about sort of your dating journeys and experiences, and how you also found your now girlfriend, and is it girlfriend? Just assuming. And sort of how you're getting on and how her reaction was, and et cetera, et cetera.
I think so a few years ago when I'd kind of told a few friends and I was just in a kind of should I kind of test it out kind of phase, I went on Bumble, I think, which is a dating app for those of you that don't know, probably everybody does know. I went on there just because it said the kind of the females had to match first, and I was still kind of like exclusively putting my dating profile to men, so I felt a bit more in control of that, and I felt in control of what I was kind of able to say. And I, funnily enough, which might be helpful, might not be, but you know, just for people out there, I had a little kind of like bio that I'd written, and it was in my notes app on my phone of like when it came to the point where I felt like disclosing that, so I was in control and I wouldn't just kind of send a message. It was like, I'm asexual. Like, and it, in a way, it was helpful for me to write it down and kind of see it and say it. But in another way, I'm like, I shouldn't have done that because it almost was like I was trying to explain myself and justify it to the person. So it was almost like, so just to let you know, like it was a, like something like I had some sort of really awful thing about
Like,
me.
I don't want to waste your time, but
Yeah, like just let's get here beforehand. Like, you know, I'm gonna die next week. Like it wasn't, it, you know what I mean? It wasn't anything like that. It wasn't anything sinister. But yeah, I just had like this thing in my notes where it'd say, oh, just to let you know, da 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 da. And you know, if that's not something that you want, like I basically said, I'm not, I don't kind of experience sexual attraction like other people. I'm not, because there are asexuals obviously that say that they're sex averse and they never kind of want it and they're quite kind of opposed to it. And that's valid. If that's you, that's not me, but that's valid. So I kind of said, I'm not against it, but it's not something that I'm kind of comfortable with initially. So I wouldn't be able to like promise you a time range of like how long it would be, and it's not like a competition to try and sleep with me or you know things like that. So you know, if you're on here looking for somebody who you can kind of get with next week, that's not me. Kind of don't waste my time. It almost turned into a, I'm not here to waste yours, don't you waste mine. And most of the time when I would send that, I would get ghosted. There was a couple of times where I feel like out of morbid curiosity they would reply and be like, oh no, that's fine, and then continue to have a conversation with me because they've maybe felt bad, and then it would still end the same way. And I think I only had a day off, like I literally only had one day when kind of that happened, and it was fine, but I could just tell that they maybe only went on a date with me because I used to present as quite feminine and probably like kind of stereotypically attractive, and they probably, and I'm very thin, so they probably still thought it's still worth a try, if that sounds horrible, but you know what I mean, like it's still worth a try. And then it wasn't really going anywhere, and to be fair, I kind of felt like the way I felt when I was in college, where I was disinterested in it. I went on this date and he was a nice guy, no bad vibes against him, but I just thought, why am I here? Like, he did a manual labour job, I was doing a PhD, and I was just like, we don't really have anything to talk about. Like, I just felt like I was just there for the sake of being there, and he was very attractive, and it was just one of those things, and I just thought, I can't be arsed with this. So I kind of stopped it, and then kind of, so Christmas 2023, so not last Christmas before, my brother and his girlfriend had just got married, his fiance had just got married then, so that his wife, and I've never really been bothered about, you know, when you go to events and there's no one with you and people like, oh, you know, sympathy, look for the single one.
Yeah, I'm like that.
I never cared, honestly, and I still didn't, but I kind of thought that had been really nice if there was someone just there for me, not in any other way, not in a, you know, wanting to have sex or anything like that, just like, it'd have been nice if I had a companion there to kind of share things like that, and, you know, I've got all my family, but it would just be nice to have that extra part. Now I felt like I was ready for that. I'd done all my degrees, I got quite senior in my career, and I thought, I probably am ready for that element. And I'd thought about, obviously, is it that I'm going on these dates with guys and I'm not actually interested in them, but I do find men attractive, so I wouldn't want to, again, box it off and be like, okay, so I'm going to change my label now and I'm going to go for this. Like, it's almost like I don't really mind because I've not got the interest in the sexual component of it initially. Why does it matter who it is, you know, for that to develop? So I had to think about it, and then we had Christmas. We had a nice Christmas with my family. Obviously, yeah, my brother's wedding. And then it was the period just after Christmas before New Year. And I just thought, I've got a bit of time off work, I've done my marking. I'll just go on a dating app and I'll just put women and we'll see if that gives me a different response to what I was kind of saying to men. And also, I'm not going to have the whole spiel kind of paragraph about that. I'll put it on my profile. So I put queer on my profile rather than putting it.
Okay.
I felt like that was more comfortable for me at the time. And then when I would connect with somebody after I'd had a conversation, because I also don't want to, sounds horrible, but like falsely advertise that, you know, people are getting something that they don't, you know, they don't know. They're on a dating app. A lot of people do use dating apps to get sex. So I think it's fair to be upfront. So I kind of, I signed up for my profile on kind of like 27th, like that period between, and I would kind of like match with a couple of people, only women, obviously, had one conversation with somebody off that on WhatsApp, but I just felt like I kept saying, well, do you want to have a FaceTime? And there's always a reason. I just thought a bit like, you're not really bothered. That's absolutely fine. Just tell me. Women are a bit more nicer about letting you go or lingering on, and I can't be bothered with that. It's fine if it's not for you.
Yeah.
And then I joke with my partner because it was her birthday early January, and I had my age preference set to people who were only 2 years younger than me, but she's like 2 years and a few months because of when our birthdays are. So we have a joke that obviously I'd only been on there for like a week, but then it was her birthday. And then obviously she came into the kind of view of the profile.
Yeah.
She liked my picture first. And I always say to her, like, I looked through her profile and thought that she looked a little bit too shy for me, knowing the kind of person that I am, and I'm just very goofy, and, you know, people know that from my TikTok. And I thought, oh, I'm not sure, you know, my pictures look very dark and mysterious, which I am not. I am loud and neurodivergent, but the pictures were giving sultry. So we'd had a chat, we chatted for a couple of days, and then I asked for a FaceTime, and then I just felt like, we're FaceTime, it just felt really natural, and I disclosed about being ace, and there was just kind of like no reaction. It wasn't a over the top like people have been before, oh, that's fine, da, da, da. It was just a bit like, oh, okay, if that's how you are, that's absolutely fine. She was also like, I'm not up for kind of just initially. I'm here to date to marry. Like, I've, you know, we've all had different periods in our life where we've done different things, but I'm not here for that. I'm here to kind of be properly dating someone. So I'd rather that, if that's what you're comfortable with. And I feel like the initial just that was a bit like, oh, I'm almost now more open to the idea of it. Just generally, it just felt like a weight had been lifted. There wasn't this kind of like elephant in the room of, is she going to change her mind? And I just felt like she was really genuine. So we went on a few dates, and then casually, as kind of like it progressed over the months, I just felt like I was starting to develop feelings that were more not just romantic feelings to her. And I was a bit like, okay, that makes sense now. And kind of, I'd always identified as ace, but it was shifting a little bit more towards kind of the demisexual kind of element for me. So, and again, not to dismiss what we talked about earlier, that wasn't my partner fixing me or changing me or anything like that. It was the experiences that I'd not had previously now made me comfortable to explore another element that then was open to me.
Yeah, well, I always say, like, I think I'm demi and grey, but I can't say for sure because I've never actually, like, I've hardly even dated as an ace person. So until I actually get myself into those sort of environments and learn more about myself, I can never be sure about where I actually sit on the ace spectrum. But I think I like the term demi and grey because it, for me, it kind of gives me hope that those feelings do exist. And at the moment, I want them to. So it's like, that's where I'm happy to sit, if that makes sense. But also, I'm very aware that I'm very uneducated on that side of me. So I don't know for sure. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's absolutely fine. I think probably people listening to this will think, you know, if people are younger and they've not had those experiences, and like, not to rush yourself or think about it, like, I was 30 by the time that I kind of had that realization. And people listening to this, they might be older, they might be younger, they might have changed identities kind of down the line. And it doesn't matter. There will be people that will respond in a certain way or say things, but ultimately, are you going to listen? And I remember I had a conversation with my work mum at my old job, who I absolutely adored, and she was really kind of pivotal in me being able to understand myself. And she's a massive qualitative social psychologist, Alison. And I remember we'd had a couple of conversations in the office where one day I just felt really down. I don't know why it was. You probably had days like this, other people might. Yeah. I'd just woken up and I just felt a bit shit to be asexual. Like, I just woke up.
I get that quite
and,
often, actually.
Yeah, and I think I don't get it as often now because obviously just things have developed for me.
Yeah.
But I used to get it quite often. And also, I probably should say it, people might know, but from my TikTok, that I've got endometriosis and adenomyosis. So they're obviously gynecological conditions, which are quite invasive and you can struggle with certain things as well to do with like menstruation. So part of me then gaslighted myself into thinking that I only identified as ace because I had gynecological issues that were making me anxious about things like that, which probably, again, we mentioned at the start, maybe some of that did feed into it, but also it's completely valid either way. Doesn't mean anything. So I remember I was having a conversation with her about it, and I just said, I don't feel like anyone will ever be able to love me as a whole person if I can't give that part of a relationship to someone. I don't feel like anyone will ever buy into me enough to see all of the qualities that I have and to then allow me the safety to see if that's something that I want. And if it was something that I did pursue in a relationship and then thought, oh, actually, no, this is where I sit, that would be my partner's choice if they didn't want that, because that's fine. Two people are in this relationship. But obviously we've been together kind of coming up 14 months now. And it's never once come up as a problem. It's things that we've talked about together, things that I've not been comfortable with, the pace that we've been going at, having those discussions. And I think the other thing about being with a woman as well is that not to dismiss all men, but it just felt easier to kind of discuss what the process of being in a sexual relationship would look like, because obviously I'm not here to talk about my sex life, but you know, part of the discussion would be things that we could do together that were more comfortable than others. And I think that's important to know, that there's your own pace that you can go at and not to be pressured to change or to, you know what I mean, to kind of adapt to the relationship. And it's not like, oh, if you loved me, you'd do this. at no point has that ever been mentioned. That if it was, I would have left, because, you know, I wouldn't be with anyone who would suggest that I had to reciprocate something for them in order for the relationship to be viable. And my partner is very supportive, very loving. I couldn't ask for a better partner. And I just think that when you find the right person, they will nourish you and they will cherish you and help you to grow together. It's not about one person fixing the other. It's not about, you know, there's compromise in relationships, but not having a sexual relationship because your partner doesn't want to isn't a valid compromise. That's, you know, you need to get what you need from a relationship.
Yeah.
But I absolutely adore my partner, and they've been so supportive in this whole journey. And I think part of it was how brilliant they were at the start, and also kind of like moving through the relationship, just understanding if there was things that I wasn't ready for, and kind of allowing that space has allowed us to get to the point where we are now, because it is, it's about the both of us. And yeah, she's not ace, by the way, just to kind of preface
I was
that.
Gonna ask, that was my next question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so nice. So there is hope for us who want a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, I've heard you mention before as well, I think you said, you know, in a couple of videos or something about whether ace people should just try and be with other ace people, or I've read different discourses about that.
Yeah, and I get that question a lot.
And I think that's fine, but you've got to remember that sexuality and kind of sex drive is also variable. So just because somebody experiences sexual desire and wants to have sex with somebody, unless they're, you know, people who say that they're sex addicts and things like that, I'm not going into that, but people have different amounts of sex in any relationship. So I think when people say, oh, I become ace because my partner doesn't want to do it anymore and we just don't have sex, is that really about you? Is that really how you feel? Or is that as a consequence of your environment? Is that kind of like socially constructed? Because being on medication is a different thing, which we can't go into, obviously, because neither of us are medically qualified. But, you know, thinking about your relationship and where you've got to, have you actually become ace and you don't experience those sexual thoughts and feelings anymore? If you have, maybe it is to do with the menopause and andropause and things like that. Or is it actually social? And if it was offered to you and you were able to do it, would you do it? And I think it doesn't really matter either way. If you want to use that term, that's fine. But almost don't dismiss or gaslight people's genuine experiences of when they say that they struggle with it and they've, you know, struggled and cried about not being able to be in relationships or not feeling like they're valid, or feeling like, you know, a partner wants to have sex when they don't, and they kind of, oh, you're frigid, that horrible things like that.
Yeah.
That experience does happen to people. It's not happened to me, but those experiences do happen. And it is rough trying to explain that you're an asexual in this world when, you know, it's kind of 1% of the population. So, I think that's really important to kind of say as well.
And with dating, I get the question of, when do you recommend telling people you're ace when you're dating? I have no idea. I think I've tried it later on in the dates and very first thing, but also that was years ago. I haven't dated in a very long time, just because I'm trying to obviously get to know myself a bit better. I feel like I'm in the best place to do it, but I get that question and I feel unable to answer it. I don't know if anyone's able to answer it. It's a very personal thing, but I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that.
I think it's also about safety, looping back to what we said before, because it depends how you meet someone, doesn't it? If you're on the other side of your phone and you've put up, you know, the pictures that you like of yourself, and you can kind of construct this idea of who you are, this profile of who you are, and you're in control of that. If you disclose to somebody, they don't know that much about you. If you disclose it as soon as they match with you, you've got the pictures and your first name. But realistically, if you say that and then they want to make some comments, block them, and then you can be kind of safe with that. I will say that obviously if you're meeting people organically or you meet people out, which I've never been like out and about and met somebody and then had that kind of in a face-to-face date and having to disclose it. So I don't know about that, but I do know as somebody who specializes in forensic psychology and as an understanding of kind of people who commit sexual related offenses and things like that and intimate partner violence and things, that if you are out and about and you're on a first date or you meet someone in a bar or something, it probably might not be the best time to disclose something like that, because there's risks of people being sexually assaulted generally anyway. And I feel like potentially if you added that element, you know, to keep people safe, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I'm just being realistic. If you said that immediately, someone might see that as a challenge, or they might see that as a, oh, I don't know what you mean, or, You know, you hear the thing about when people say that they're a lesbian, and then men say like, "Oh, I could fix that," or you know. So I will just say to people, just be safe and just think about if you're in a situation where you're able to disclose that and safely remove yourself if you don't get the reaction that you want from that person. So that's probably what I would say. Like I said, I've tried disclosing it straight away, and I didn't get anything that made me feel unsafe. I just got disappointment, really. Yeah. But it was how I felt comfortable. I think you've said, you know, trying to do self-work so that you understand how you want to explain that is important. But yeah, there isn't a straight answer.
No.
But I would say just to kind of be careful if you are meeting people organically, because, you know, we want you to be safe. And unfortunately, you know, being LGBTQAI plus does have its own risks as well in terms of, like, you know, hate crime and things like that. So, you know, just be safe out there if you are thinking about it.
That was amazingly put. And actually, I don't know if I'd really thought about that before. So thank you so much for mentioning that and, like, articulating that so well. I think personally, I've said it on the first date a lot of the times, just because then it's off my shoulders.
Sure.
Because I feel like it's always on my mind otherwise. Mm. But yeah, from a safety point of view, that's a really, really good point, actually.
And I think if you're meeting somebody on a first date, like if you've already got an idea of the person and you're going on a first date with them, that might be okay, because you might feel like you've picked the environment, you feel safe. But like if you're in a bar and you're kind of flirting with someone, or, you know, someone comes up to you, that's probably, I'd probably say not to do it then. That's probably the only circumstance I'd say don't say something.
Yes, 100%. I think I completely agree, and I wouldn't personally do that either. It's only I've only ever done that when I've done like online dating, and then we've picked a bar, and that's kind of, we're on the first date. But you're so right, if someone's coming up to you, just be very aware. Society isn't always a nice place to be. Last question, quick fire ish have you like faced any discrimination from, well, any in any aspect of your life because you are asexual?
I mean, it's always difficult to say. Career-wise, it's difficult to say. I didn't disclose it when I worked in forensic services, because, as you can imagine, working with older adults who are sectioned under the Mental Health Act, you don't give them a lot of information about yourself. So at that job, I was not out, because it was not appropriate to be out in that setting. Some colleagues knew, but it was not appropriate to kind of be out and kind of actively discussing things with service users. Whereas my job's in higher education and universities, and I'm not mentioning any university specifically, so just to preface that while we're on here. But there has been members of kind of senior staff, or usually white males, but not always, but usually white males, older white males, that I have sometimes felt when I've kind of brought it up in a conversation, or I've mentioned about, like, oh, what about LGBTQ students, or what about this, that kind of a bit of an eye roll or something like that. And then when I've said, well, actually, I identify as this, or what about this, you know, and I've made suggestions or comments, that sometimes I felt like the attitude has shifted, or sometimes I felt in a room and I've been in the room and I've been qualified to answer the questions, but a colleague has been being spoken to and they're looking at them and the colleague's like, that's not for me, but they've kind of talked through me. But I struggle with that because obviously I am young, female, queer. So part of that being like early career and being in those rooms as, you know, 27-year-old when I started my career kind of in academia, part of that might be to do with my age, part of it might be to do with my gender, and then part of it might be to do with the sexuality. So I'm not sure how much of it is to do with my identity. And like I said, usually I will just say queer, I won't specifically say ace, so I don't open up the opportunity for any explicit questions. A couple of times I've kind of told people, and they've gone, well, what do you mean? Oh, well, do you not? And I think since being in a relationship, it maybe got slightly worse. Not with the people I knew, not with family, not with friends, not with things like that, but slightly worse with strangers, that then when I disclosed it and I was single, it was kind of a bit like, oh, well, that's fine, because, you know, you're clearly single and you're not going
around. You're not inflicting it on anyone else. Like,
so it's valid,
no one else
because
is suffering from it.
Nobody cares. But then when it's like, oh, I'm in a relationship, it's almost like, oh, and a lot of people see this, and for some people it is, and that's fine. For me, it's not. Sometimes it's a stepping stone to say, oh, well, actually, you're a lesbian and you're just waiting to kind of use that. If people presume that me and my partner are lesbians, that's fine. She identifies as a lesbian, I don't. We are in a lesbian relationship, but I don't identify with that. But if someone says it, I'm not going to correct them. First of all, it's not safe sometimes to correct them if someone's kind of leering or shout out when you're in a pub and things like that. Like, I don't care. Shouldn't have to deal with that, but I'm not going to correct this a random drunk man. I don't care. But if it's kind of my friends, I'll be like, well, no, actually, that's not, that's still, my identity is still this. She understands it. Don't care if nobody else does. But yeah, a few times since I've been in a relationship where I've said that, and then people have gone like, oh, well, what does your partner think about that? Or, oh, what do your parents think about that? I'm like, what the fuck has it got to do with, especially with my parents, but like, what? Almost like a disappointment of, oh, well, you won't want to have children, or, well, oh, well, you won't want to do this, or like, don't put your expectations of what it is to be ace or to be demi onto me. Like, I will share my journey with people who get access to that journey, and obviously I've shared some of that with people today because I think it's important, but there's parts of it that are for me and my partner that I won't share with people because that's nothing to do with anybody else, and I think it's respectful to do that. So, some people want to talk about the relationship and every aspect of it on social media, and that's absolutely fine if people want to do that. I'm not comfortable with that, but I think it's important to know that when someone discloses and tries to explain the sexuality, to listen. If you don't understand it, go and educate yourself, but don't change your behavior to try and fit a narrative of what you think they should be acting like. Like, oh, you make videos of, oh, you don't look gay, or you don't look ace, or whatever, and it's like, when will this end?
Such an eye roll.
But yeah, I don't know about, I don't think I've experienced it kind of explicitly, but there's been implicit biases within work to do with kind of being queer, and being a powerful young queer woman as well. Sometimes people don't like that. But yeah, you've got to protect yourself as much as you can, but I don't think there's not been anything specific. There's general stuff about being queer, or when me and my girlfriend are out and we sat together, or we'll be kissing, you'll get looks, or unfortunately that's the way that reality is. But as long as we persevere and we discuss these things, hopefully we can just make it slightly less as we go on this journey.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. I don't know whether it's because I'm sort of like surrounding myself with more ace content in my life, but I do feel like it's more educated a little bit. Like I'm getting less. Sort of when I tell people, oh, I'm ace or asexual, I'm getting less, oh, what is that? Or like, what? What do you mean? Like, I'm getting less negativity around it, which is lovely. But again, I don't know if that's just because I'm surrounding myself with the correct people. I don't, it's hard to tell, isn't it? But yeah, I feel like, is there anything else that you sort of wanted to add or talk about today?
I don't think so. I think just to obviously remind people that, this is a spectrum. As much as me and Amy want this to be a safe space, just be aware that if you do disclose something in the comments, they are kind of like public views. So if you're not ready to have that conversation, or you're not ready for people to know, just be safe, because I always say, it's a safe space to comment on videos and things, and we want it to be, but just remember that obviously when you put something out there, you are putting yourself in a situation. So just be careful, just look after yourself. If you do want to have conversations with more people, maybe create an account that's anonymous, so it's a it's appropriate for you to do that in a safe way. And yeah, like I said earlier on, if you're wanting to kind of disclose to people and you're unsure how, I did find it helpful to kind of download some graphics, have a look at some of Amy's content, and send a video to a friend and say like, oh, I identified with this video, or look at this, or what do you think of this, just to kind of like test the waters a little bit. I feel like that's a safe way to do it without kind of having to say too much and putting yourself in an educator position, which you don't owe that to anybody. You're not getting paid to educate people on being ace. Amy's doing this because she wants to talk about her identity, and I'm doing this because I think it's important for more representation to know that, we do exist in various different ways and different forms. And that's absolutely fine. So just look after yourself, just be safe, and just do what you're ready to do at a pace that you're ready to do that. And we see you, and it's valid, whatever your identity is.
Oh, thank you so much, Sam. Did you want to quickly tell everyone what your TikTok and social media handles are? I will put them in the show notes as well, but just in case people want to hear it.
Yeah, so I only use TikTok really for kind of educational purposes. So my TikTok is Psych Up Your Life, and psych being like psychology. So PSYCHUPYOURLIFE. Forgot how to spell the other words then. But like the Spice Girls, Spice Up Your Life, it's Psych Up Your Life. So if you are interested in kind of psychology, I do make some ace jokes sometimes. I do have a playlist that's about queer research as well. And I do talk about obviously my journey in psychology, different roles that I've had, and kind of make some psychology academic related jokes and stuff like that. So if anyone's interested in psychology, please do head over there as well. And thank you so much for having me on the podcast, and hopefully we'll keep in contact, and we'll maybe one day we'll actually meet in person.
Maybe.
And make some
I
content.
Hope so. I would love to do some kind of ace meetup or something. But like you say, it can be tricky with the safety situation, but it's definitely doable. But yeah, no, we should definitely actually meet in real life. That would be quite nice.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thank you so much. Everyone, give Sam a follow if you're interested in following what she's got to say or her videos. They're really great. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Thank you so much for being our first ever guest.
No problem at all. It was a pleasure.
So excited to put this one out there. Have a lovely week, everybody.
Brilliant. Take care, everyone.